Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. And some more black power to my people. This is your brother, your comrade at arms, a soldier in the war and in the battle with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege and a joy and an honor to be broadcasting to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. And I always try to start out our broadcast giving greetings of Black Power from the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And we send you Black Power greetings from him, and we send you Black Power greetings from all of the chapters, all of the registered chapters and study circles and groups around the globe and around the country. We send you Black Power greetings from your family here in the hills and the smells of North America. And, you know, I mean, we got to stay on point. We got to stay on point. So I got to give it to you the way it's got to be brought. And as you see in the title browser and the title topic, the title is, Are You Still the White Man's Nigger in 2010? Are you still, and I'm also asking the same question to myself, am I still the white man's nigger in 2010? And so, you know, we got to get into it. Now, look, why do I use a topic like this? It comes from the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who we say Ashe. We say Ashe for the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He would always go at the white man, the beast, the colored man, the devil, Satan. He would always go at our open enemies, but make no mistake about it. He also would always get at the Uncle Tom Negroes. The Negroes who wouldn't stand up for black, who wouldn't ride for black people, the avaricious businessman, business owner, avaricious businessman, a businesswoman who would not give money back to the black community, who would pimp the black community, who would capitalize and brutalize the black community and would not build up in the black community. He would go after the savage medical man or woman who was in the field of medicine but would not practice holistic medicine, would not help us to open up health care clinics, and would not help us to build a nation for ourselves. And so he added a twist to it. He would say that you are just the white man's nigger in a dressed up way. You're just the white man's nigger in a dressed up way. And all of us, for the most part, who are in this movement, we have seen the movie Roots. We are familiar with the character named Fiddler. You know, we know about Stephen Fetchett. We understand about Uncle Tom. We know about all of that. But the question now is that still going on today? Are Negroes still buck dancing and boot licking today in 2010? Do we even really have solid, cold, bold, uncompromising black leadership? Do we have black leaders who won't sell us out, who won't punk out, who ain't, as he said, punctified and sissified, homogenized and half-baked, half-fried? Huh? Do we have leadership in our community that will lead us and guide us and show us the way to get true freedom, justice, and equality? Or are these Negro leaders, or are any of the leaders, just the white man's nigger? And we have to ask ourselves, in terms of this movement, the Black Power movement, are we just the white man's nigger in Black Power combat boots and in Black Power uniforms? Are we the white man's nigger? What does it mean to be the white man's nigger? Now, you know, if you're a little tender-hearted and, you know, if you're a little tender, then I would say buckle your seatbelts, you know. Don't take it personal. It's just about self-examination. We have to have self-examination. If we do not look at ourselves and look at the things that keep us from being successful in this movement, then we will never advance as a nation. We will never be able to make the type of gains and the type of steps that we need to make in order to build a nation of our own. We've been in this situation for well now over 6,000 years. We've been here in this situation. I'm talking about against our open enemy. We've been in this for over 6,000 years as a nation in different forms. And so now that we have modern equipment and modern technology, you would think that we would be able now to get up out of this condition a lot quicker. You would think now with the advances of internet and the advances of DSL and broadband and dial-up and all of that, that helps us to connect and communicate to anybody across the globe, across the total landscape of our planet. You would think that we would have quicker access to resource, quicker access to information, quicker access to things which teach us a knowledge of ourselves, a knowledge of our culture, a knowledge of our God, a knowledge of our history, and a knowledge of our history. You would think that we would know now what it would take to build a nation, and we would be able to connect. We'd be able to use the resource to interweave ourselves and interwove ourselves into nationhood. But it seems like as we advance further and further down the wheels of time and throughout history, it seems like now we're getting farther and farther away from the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. It seems like we're getting farther and farther away from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It seems like we're getting farther and farther away from the nationhood principles that Haile Selassie brings. It seems like we're getting farther and farther away from all of our great ones that have come teaching us about uniting for ourselves and defending ourselves against this blue-eyed, pale-faced beast. And so we have to look at it. Are we the white man's niggers? Do we still love the slave master, love the master, love master so much that we are unwilling to separate, that we are unwilling to separate and go for freedom and go for self? Are you unwilling to go for yourself? Now look at it now. Our forefathers and foremothers, through all the hell and suffering that they caught and that they went under in this country and across the world, believe me, brother and sister, they had no problem separating. In fact, every single day, They worked to get free from the plantation. They worked to get free from the condition, from the situation, worked to get free from the issues that affected and afflicted our people. And you always had one who they called the house Negro, who was not trying to separate, who believed that if he or she could get close to Master and stay in the house of Master, that he or she could reap the benefits that fell from the white man's table, fell from the white man's grasp. And so the house Negro never actually tried to make a difference in separating, never tried to make a difference in separating. While all of the workers in the field, all of your people who were in the field and my people who were in the field would work and bleed and sweat, and some of our sisters even would have their babies out in the field while they were laboring and picking, and you know, and all of us were trying to plan and plot a way to get free. The house Negro, you know, would be in the house trying to maintain a position or a status in the house of the slave master. And so the house Negro would be used against the workers in the field, the black man and black woman who was made to labor and made to build up the nation for the white man. They were, you know, used. The house Negro will be used. And oft times when the Caucasian slave master would get tired of whipping the slave into submission or disciplining according to their efforts, the black man and black woman for rebellious acts, when the white man would get tired, then they would call on a house Negro to whip the rest of the slaves in shape and make the rebellious, quote-unquote, field Negro, or really the revolutionary, or really the warrior-spirited field Negro, black man and black woman, the house Negro would be used to whip these brothers and sisters into order with the white man's system and with the white man's ideas and efforts in slavery. And so we bring ourselves now to 2010, and we look at the leadership that is on the scene today. I mean, take a strong, good look, and I'm not even talking about nobody outside of the black nation. I'm saying specifically within the black nation. You look at the leadership, and especially mainstream leadership, and what do you really see? Where are we really going? Where are they trying to get us to go to? Are the leaders making the same plea that our forefathers and foremothers made in terms of separation, independence, black power, a nation of our own? Or are they asking us to integrate? Are they asking us to join hands and be happy and sing songs and be a part of the white man's economic capitalistic system? Look at the landscape. What type of leadership do we have that would put the cares and the hurt and the pain of our forefathers and ancestors and mothers to the side and want to join hands and integrate into a burning society, a failing house? I was looking at something on the news just the other day, and it said pretty much in words that America, the U.S., economically and really every other way, was on her deathbed. That this was an article that said that if we knew any better, in words, that hell, we would abandon ship. Now these are Caucasian writers that even recognize that the house that their forefathers and foremothers built off the backs of our people cannot withstand the laws of justice and freedom And so that what goes around comes around. Reciprocity always comes back. And so now America is being divinely chastised at all fronts. At all fronts, she's being chastised, and she can't stand on her own two feet anymore. And so even they recognize that they don't have a superpower in America. They don't have an all-eye-seeing nation or business or country. They don't have it anymore. They're not the all-powerful. They have an illusion of complete power, but they are not the all-powerful, almighty country that they would have you to believe that they are. Even they recognize this. So why are so many of our people, over 22 million of our people, so caught up in the white man's way of life and the white man's system, and we still put our hope and our trust in this nation, that this nation will continue for the rest of our lives and the rest of our days and be able to sustain a place for you and sustain a place for me and sustain a place for our children? Why are we putting our hope and our effort and our dreams into this country? What was it that the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey saw in the foundation and formation of the UNIA that we don't see today? What is it that Master Farad Muhammad, who gave the teaching to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who passed it on down to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and others in the black nation, what is it that he saw for us in America that we don't see today? What is it that the other nations and the others who have gone for self, and you can even in this instance talk about the Palestinians, even in this instance, who have struggled against Israeli occupation and who fight for self-determination, who fight to struggle to create a landmass and a land base of their own against Israeli occupation. We can even mention them in this instance. We can mention others in the Red Nation, other nations. We can mention a lot of people, but let's just stay on the black. Why has not the black man and black woman recognized that it is our time to build up for ourselves, that all of our efforts should be to marshal our forces to go for self, that America does not have the resource or the equity or the finance to support those whom it has held captive, whom it has abused and tortured into creating an empire for a small amount of the few. Now, we have been treated maliciously in America, and we have been treated hatefully in America. I'm talking about not just me, but you too. And all of us at one time or another have felt the sting and the lash and the whip of our oppressor. We have felt it. And if you haven't felt it physically, then you definitely damn sure feel it mentally. You damn sure feel it psychologically. And you damn sure feel it economically. We have been whipped and treated hatefully and maliciously. And then we have been tortured in the educational system that everything that is of greatness is white. Everything that comes from any value, anything that has any presence or place in the world is white. They teach us that a white man did it. They tell us that a white man made the light bulb. A white man invented the automobile. A white man invented the railway system. A white man invented sanitation. They say that a white man invented medicine, you know, medical practices and mathematical practices and, you know, all that. They teach us that the white man did it. And so the educational system has robbed us of our self-knowledge. It does not teach us who we are, where we come from, what we're supposed to be doing, what time it is, and what we're supposed to be doing in the time that we live in. The educational system doesn't teach us about agriculture. It doesn't teach us about trade. It doesn't teach us about business. It doesn't teach us about true proper warfare, how to pick a mate, the science of mating, the science of relationships. It doesn't teach us about proper economics. Their educational system only seeks to further white supremacy. I hope I'm making sense to you all. It only seeks to further white supremacy. And so if we are seeing this as wide awake black men and black women, and we recognize that this is a process that has continued for well over 400 plus years, well over that now, and they have no intention of changing it. See, this is the point that I want to put our minds on. They have no intention of changing the system. They can say all they want to about this bill and that bill and this amendment, that amendment, this referendum, that referendum, but when you look at it for real, they have no intention. I don't care if they're a liberal white man or the most staunch, hard-nosed white person there is. Neither one of them have any real intention on changing the system for the black man and black woman's benefit. All that they're interested in is reform. At the most, they're interested in reform of certain policies, but they're not interested in changing a white power structure that only means death and destruction for blacks. Okay, and so if they have it their way, then we will always be dependent upon them. We will always be, needy and wanting something from their table. You, me, and our babies and their babies and our generations on down the line. If they have it their way, we will always have to beg and depend on white folks, and they have adopted this attitude and this sociology and that kind of psychology. It is in their very DNA because that is how the society is set up. We have been deprived because of the way that the system is set up. We have been deprived of the opportunity to become free and independent right up to the day that we live in because of the way the system is set up. If you exist in the system in the way that they have it set, you cannot go for freedom. You can't go for self. We can't talk black nationhood and black power, and we are all up into the system doing it by the way that they want it done. It doesn't work like that. The system is not set up for us to become free. Okay? So anybody black who is on the soil where you were captured and where our people were captured, they have no intention of you ever being free. The proof is in the pudding. We've been, begging and pushing and marching and protesting for freedom for a long time, and we ain't got free, okay? So it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. The system that they have set up for you and me is a system that is designed to keep us in bondage, okay? But now, mind you, we're not stopped or deprived from fighting wars for America. They'll let you fight all day. They'll let you join up in their army all day. You can join their Marines and, the Navy and this task force and that task force and the police force. Your black behind can do that all day long. And they are constantly trying to bombard you with propaganda telling you about joining the military, joining the army, joining the Navy, be all you can be, this, that, and the other. They bombard you with it, and then they tell you that you're going to get benefits and, schooling and all kind of little things that they do to draw you in. Okay, you can do that all day. But when you talk about going for self, when you talk about building a black nation, when you talk about cleaning up the so-called ghettos and the hoods of America, cleaning up our people, cleaning up ourselves, that's when all of a sudden now you become a threat. Now all of a sudden, your militancy that they want you to use for their situations and their wars, now all of a sudden it's inaccurate, it's improper, it's not right, it's immoral. A lot of things, a lot of the words that they use, it's all kind of the words. But if it's for them, then it's okay. All right, now, I just want y'all to follow along when I'm trying to give us a little backdrop on this white man's nigger. I'm trying to show us something here. Now, in America, you are deprived of your right to fight for your own freedom, okay? And our forefathers and foremothers, they met all kinds of opposition trying to get free. okay, trying to get free. And the point is that for those of our sisters, of our queens who were pregnant, going through these situations, through these psychological traumas and damages, all of this began to seep down into the seeds in the wombs that she was carrying. It began to seep down into the mind. The pain, the fear, the trauma, the damage, and all of that would seep down into the psyche of the babies that were being produced. Okay? And so, hell, today, right now in 2010, many of us are afraid, we're scared, you know, we're psychologically damaged, you know, full of stress, anxiety, you know, all of this. It's all in us all, because of what our people have experienced. Now, you have, again, a house Negro element that does not want to go through the pain and the rigor and the effort of getting free and being independent. See, the house Negro sees it as a trauma to try to get free. They see it as too hard of a journey, I should say, too hard of a journey or too tough of a battle to go in the opposite direction and do for self versus being a yassa boss and doing what the slave master or the boss would have them to do. And so they find it more expedient to never resist and never try to get free from the plantation or from the situation. They find it more expedient for self to do whatever they're asked to do so that they cannot get in any kind of trouble, okay? Now, look at black leadership today. When you look at black leadership today, ask yourself the question, who's rocking the boat today? Who in the hell is rocking the boat today? Which one of our so-called leaders are being attacked by the oppressors of our people today? Which one of our so-called leaders are being dogged out and slandered and brought before their courts or what have you for the liberation and salvation of a black nation today? Who's going through this today? Who is paying the ultimate price and sacrificing for our upliftment? If they are our leaders, who's doing this? Now, from what I see, majority, damn near all of the leadership out there is talking about integrating with the white man. You have taken the position of the house Negro. You don't want to rock the boat because you saw what our foreparents had to go through in terms of being fire hosed and fire bombed and jailed and all kind of things, murdered, outright killed. And so you're timid, you're scared, you're psychologically damaged. And so you don't want to rock the boat, but you're out front. And so you reap the benefits of being out front. You reap the prestige of being out front, but you don't want to really fight the beast. Okay? Let's call it like it is. You don't really want to fight the beast. And so it's more expedient for you to tell us as a black nation, just go along to get along. Or, you know, speak out a little bit, but don't speak out too much. You know, you can say the white man, but don't say cracker. You can say the white man, but don't say devil. You know, you know what I mean? You got these leaders out there now that they don't want you to rock the boat too much because it makes it hard for them. It makes it hard for them. They can't maneuver when a black nation is putting pressure on them to really be strong and putting pressure on those who they bow to. Okay? They can talk all the God that they want to, but they ain't bowing to no God. You ain't bowing to no God. You bowing to the white man. You bowing to the white man. You bowing to their way. Because if our leadership was not bowing down to the white man, we'd have a stronger black united front. We would have a stronger black united front. Our black united front is not strong because you have leaders out here that are not telling the people who follow them to lock arms with other black folk. They're not telling them to lock arms and unite with their own people. You're trying to keep the people to yourself. You're trying to keep the people to yourself and make the people follow your way, and that stuff is taking us down, man. It's taking us down. It's taking us further away from black nationalism and black power and black laws for all black people. As long as we have this blind love for our enemies, you know, as long as you have this blind love for your enemy that, you know, we are all human and that, you know, we're brothers and sisters and God made us all and all this and all of that. Hell, we ain't going to never get free like that. Hell, nature don't think like that. When a rabbit's in the field and a rabbit see a predator, they don't think, well, hell, God made this thing. God made this little lion that's about to eat me, so I'm going to let it eat me. Hell no. The rabbits say, damn, let me get the hell up out of here. Let me get the hell up out of here because there's danger. And if this beast capture me, I'm dead. Okay? And we supposed to be smarter than the beast of the field. We the ones supposed to be made in the image and likeness of the original black man and black woman, gods and goddesses. We supposed to be that. So if the rabbit has enough sense to roll out when its open enemy is making an attack and making an effort to take it out of here, then what the hell do we look like integrating into the house of America? Everything that we face in the hills of North America and really the world over is designed to take black life up out of here. Look at the prison system, huh? Look at the prison industrial complex, huh? Look at the chemical and biological warfare that is on the streets and going on right now in our community. Look at what's happening. Look at how the medical profession is only interested in getting rich off of our people and is not interested in getting our people good health care and into a right state and balance. You know, some of you all know about our brother, comrade, brother Dr. Sebi. Some of y'all know about Dr. Sebi. Dr. Sebi done cured all kinds of diseases and things that go on. He's cured a whole lot of diseases and things that go on. And this government, this beast, had nerves to threaten this man with incarceration because he wouldn't send, you know, his healing processes through the Food and Drug Administration, because he wouldn't send his information through the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Okay, now if this man has information, okay, that cures HIV and cures AIDS and cures cancer and, you know what I mean, cures the diabetes and whatnot, I'm just using him as an example. There's others out here. But if he has this kind of information, then why in the hell, if the government of America really cared about black and cared about any damn body, really, why in the hell wouldn't they want this man to get the information out there? Why wouldn't they want this? Why wouldn't they put this type of brother on a platform and a pedestal and, you know, announce what he has to the whole world? They don't want to put this man before the whole world because they can't make any money off of Dr. Sebi. You understand what I'm saying? They cannot make money off of Dr. Sebi, so they would rather try to incarcerate the man and stop and slow up his business rather than take his information, put it into the medical profession, and heal nations and nations of people from different diseases and ailments. Some of us in our family, some of our people have had diabetes so damn long, we think that it's just a genetic situation, that you're just born with diabetes. My great-grandmother had diabetes, and my grandmother had diabetes, and my mom and my daddy got diabetes. So, no, it's not genetic, brothers and sisters. It is because of the way that we have been trained and the way that we have been taught and the food that we eat, and we're full of sugars and starches. That's why these type of situations happen in the body. Our blood pressure too high and all kind of stuff. All of these things can be avoided or removed from the body. In our African way of lives, our original African way of life, all of this stuff didn't exist. You didn't hear about this stuff in no Africa before we intertwined and intermingled and integrated with the white man. You didn't hear about a black man sleeping with a black man or a black woman laying up and sleeping with another black woman. You didn't hear about none of this stuff in no Africa. You didn't hear about none of this stuff in no Africa. Only until the European or the straight-up white man intermingled and intermixed with our people did you start hearing about the stuff that goes on in the black community. You did not used to hear about black people going in houses, shooting up the whole house and shooting up their whole family, shooting up the children and the dog and the goldfish and every damn thing. That used to be a white thing, man. That used to, them white folks used to get mad. They would lose their job or something like that. You know what I mean? And then they go home or their spouse would say something that they didn't like or something. They'd snap and that nature come out and they'd shoot up the whole damn house. That used, when we heard that on the news, we used to be able to say, that must be somebody white. That must be somebody white. But now we have been amongst them for so long that we can't even decipher or determine whether it's a white crime or a black crime now, unless they say it was a white family or a black family. We have been amongst them so long that now, you know what I mean, you see a person like Paris Hilton or somebody, she got her little mangy-ass poodle in a purse, and now you got your little mangy-ass German Shepherd in a purse. You know what I mean? Now, because they do it now, you do it. Okay, we have been amongst them so long. So the question is, what happened to our identity? What happened to the black man and black woman's identity? What happened to us wanting to have a nation of our own? What happened to us wanting to be ourselves? What happened to the black man wanting and desiring and, you know, admiring the black woman? What happened to the black woman wanting and desiring and admiring the black man? What happened to this? Okay, are we the white man's nigger in 2010? You know, what happened to us that we have become so mentally destroyed that we question every single thing black, everything black? We question it. It don't matter what it is. Somebody could tell you, get out the street, a car's coming. You might say, why? You know what I'm saying? But if the white man say it, then it's 100% actual fact. If the white man say it. Some of you right now, if the white man told you, join the new Black Panther Party, it's the greatest thing in the world, you niggas would be blowing newblackpantherparty.org up. You'd be blowing NBPPHQ at yahoo.com up. You'd be blowing my phone up and blowing all the labor's phone up and anybody you could fire because the white man said it. Yo, some of us waiting on the white man to give a stamp of approval to join the new Black Panther Party or get behind the works of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. You waiting on the white man to stamp and approve this. And that's crazy as hell. If the white man said today, okay, go ahead and be a revolutionary, it's the right thing to do, you Negroes would be extra revolutionary. You'd be so damn revolutionary. You know what I mean? It'd be complete constructive change everywhere. Every single way you could look at it, it'd be complete constructive change because the white man said do it. But because the white man ain't said do it, hell, some of us ain't moving. We ain't moving fast. When you got a black voice, a black brother, black sister telling you, join on to your own, you know, unite with your own, build up your own revolutionary organization situations, and let's do for self because, hell, this ship is burning. They finna move on us and exterminate black life. You Negroes look at us like we crazy. Look at us like we crazy. Because, hell, the white man has not stamped and approved what we're doing. And I'm telling you, if you're waiting on the white man to stamp and approve what we're doing, you're going to be waiting for the rest of your damn life. The white man will not stamp and approve this movement, will not stamp and approve the new Black Panther Party or anything revolutionary. They will never do it. If the white man stamps and approves the new Black Panther Party, then get the hell away from the new Black Panther Party. If the white man stamps and approves anything in the Black Power Movement, any organization in the Black Power Movement, get the hell away from that movement and get the hell away from that organization. You have a 6,000-year-old enemy that's stamping and approving your movement, and you talking about you trying to get free? You talking about you trying to be bold? You talking about you fearless? You uncompromising? You revolutionary? And the white man is stamping and approving what you doing? Come on now, brother and sister. Come on now. We you know, some of us have given up on trying to be the field Negro. We trying to be house Negroes. Ain't nothing I can stand. I can't stand too much more in life than a bougie-ass revolutionary. I can't stand a bougie revolutionary. You know what I'm talking about? You brothers and sisters that's scared to go out in the field. You scared to get dirty. You scared to shake the hand of a black man, black woman. You trying your best to talk like the white man, think like the white man, act like the white man, and at the same time, you talking about black power. Man, I can't, I'm telling you, and I tell you to your face, I can't stand you. You bougie-ass Negro, I can't stand you. There's nothing more I can stand. I can't stand too much more than a bougie individual. Okay, because that's not African. That's not African. We believed in our mother country about sharing amongst each other. We believed in passing down information to each other. We believed in talking and communicating and uplifting and building up each other. We had manhood classes in the mother country. We had womanhood classes in the mother country. We had all that before we were interfered with, and so we got to get it back. We got to do it again. See, our foreparents did not suffer and bleed and get whipped and hung and lynched for us to be talking this foolishness about integration. They didn't go through that stuff for us to be talking this mess about loving white folks. They didn't go through that stuff. Could you imagine standing over the casket of Brother Emmett Till talking about, I love the white man, I love the white woman, I'm going to go marry me a white man, a white woman. They, you know what I mean? They're not our enemies anymore. Can you imagine? I mean, just in your mind, think if you could right now talk to Brother Emmett Till, or even talk to Emmett Till's parents, and you say to them, well, it's okay now, it's 2010, so we don't have a struggle anymore. You know, Barack is in office now, he's black, and so we don't have anything to struggle anymore. Can you honestly think that Emmett Till would have died in that fashion, and he would respect you for saying that it's 2010, and because we have a black face in the White House, that it's all good? We've lost our minds. You have lost your minds. You are a blind fool and a blind lover of the enemy. Okay? Our foreparents desired to see us free. Their whole desire was to see us free. When you talk about Sister Harriet Tubman, Ashe, when you talk about her, what was she doing when she was here amongst us on this planet? She was working to get us free. The Underground Railroad has become a thing of history and legend, but that was a damn escape route away from oppression. Okay? She, with her pistol and everything, was rounding up as many men and women as she could to get us the hell up out that situation. Okay? Where's our Harriets today? Where are the Harriets at today that's trying to get brothers and sisters up out the situation? Where are you at with your pistol? Talking about, if you go back, I'll blow your damn head off. See, that's how Harriet was talking. That's how our sister Harriet Tubman was talking, that if you get on this train and you decide to go back to the slave master, the only thing that's going to make it back is your dead corpse. Okay? Where the sisters at today with that kind of attitude? Where the brothers at today with that kind of attitude? Where's the leadership at today with that kind of attitude? Okay? Some of us are so willing to betray our own people. Some of us from our own kith and kin, our own blood, are willing to betray our own people for a little or nothing. You so willing to sell us out for a little of nothing, for a few crumbs from the white man's table. You just so willing to get whatever the white man gives just to sell your people out. And that's another thing that has stopped us in the Black Power movement is these old stool pigeons and Uncle Toms, man. We can't even properly organize without you running back and telling some old white man what the hell is going on in our situation. Some of you in your cities running around talking and organizing and working with the damn police. I'm talking about even a Quanell X who claimed he with the new Black Panther Party. You running around working with the damn police. You disgrace the memory and the legacy and the works of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You a hypocrite. You a hypocrite to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And you working with the police and turning your people into the police. The Black Power General did not teach you that, nor did Minister Louis Farrakhan teach you that, nor did the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach you that. None of them taught you that, sir. So how in the hell do you justify that? You are not a representative of the new Black Panther Party. You need to clear that up immediately. Immediately. You disgrace the Black Power General. And that goes for others, too. So willing to turn our people over to the beast, so willing to be an informant, huh? The new Black Panther Party honeycombed the time with informants. You so willing to go back and run information, run license plates, and run where Brother Sean went today, what he's doing today, and what this one's doing today. You so willing to work for the white man, and you're so foolish because hell, the white man don't even need your black behind today. He got so much technology. Hell, they got a thing they broadcast on TV. You can put it in your ear and hear what somebody's saying down the damn street. They got these little gadgets right now, and that's just the one that they have on TV for the general public. You can imagine what they use. They got stuff they don't even have to be. I mean, you know how back in the day they put bugs in your in Malcolm's hotel room and things. They don't even need them kind of devices anymore. That was ancient. That's in the 60s. They got stuff now. They can sit right outside your home, hear everything that you're saying within your home right now. And you dumb Negroes is for a little paycheck and a few breadcrumbs off the white man's table, you willing to get all off in our meeting and report back to what we doing for the white man. You dumb as hell. And when we catch you, we're going to hang your ass from the rafters. I'm telling you straight. You deserve that. In self-defense, we going to deal with your behind for running to the white man like that. I'm just telling you straight up. You a stool pigeon and a turncoat to your people. And these are things that are hindering us from getting free. Okay? These people that love the white man, our people did not die for us to do what we're doing or act the way that we act today. Okay? And so you are now willing to even betray your own future generations. You wonder why the babies are rebellious the way that they're rebellious and they fight in the way that they fight? It is because you weak-ass Negroes is selling out our future, man. You're selling out our future for a few breadcrumbs. Even I'm talking to the leadership, too. You're selling out our future for a few breadcrumbs from the white man's table, or so that the white man won't put their foot on your neck. You silent because you don't want to go through the purification of the fire called revolution. You don't want to go through it. You don't want to go through it. You don't want to go through, you know, what it takes to get free. You don't want to have a freedom or death attitude like the new Black Panther Party because you a sellout, because you don't want the pain. You don't want the sacrifice. You don't want to have to, like our national chairman, you don't want him to get stopped at the airport and they get all on the airplane and question you and search you and frisk you and all kind of things, like what he got to go through just to get this message out. You ain't trying to go through that. You want to sit up in your lofty house and be comfortable and ride around and be comfortable and wear all kind of material, clothes, and have all kind of materialistic establishments and things like this, you ain't talking about no freedom. Ain't nothing wrong with having things. But I'm saying you ain't trying to get free. You're trying to be comfortable. And this is what is keeping us in this condition. So-called revolutionaries don't want to work. You don't want to work. You ain't, you know what I mean, working in the community. We ain't working in the community because the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. If we were working for the community, much if not all of what we face and go through today, it wouldn't exist. It wouldn't exist. If we had the true spirit of a Huey P. Newton, of a Bobby Seale in his best days, the Eldridge in his best days, Elaine Brown in her best days, Kathleen Cleveland in her best days, if we had the real spirit of a Black Panther, we wouldn't be going through this mess. If we had the real spirit of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, or the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, or the Black New Black Panther Party, we wouldn't be going through this mess. We wouldn't be going through the mess like we going through it. Negroes don't want to do no work. You trying to get paid. You pimping the people. You preachers too, pimping the people. It ain't just about no Eddie Long who got exposed for what he done. It's about all of us, man, pimping the people. If you say you about Black power and you say you about Black freedom, it's about what we gonna do. It's about our work. It's about what we willing to sacrifice to get to where we need to go. The mathematical equation for work is force times distance. I'm going to say it again. Force times distance. That's the equation. So if we, you know, if we ain't going no damn well, we say this is a movement, Black Power movement, but if we ain't going no damn where, how can we say we done some work? If we ain't capturing the land, we ain't set up establishments, we ain't built businesses, we ain't revolutionized the gangs, we ain't moved on police brutality, we ain't moved on the chemical drug trade, we ain't moved on the healthcare system, we ain't moved on the educational system, we ain't moved to control Black politics and Black economics. Our people still falling into the white man's military. Well, me and other political prisoners still on death row. If we ain't solving these issues and these ills, we ain't did no damn work, man. We ain't did no work. We can say what we want to say, but you fooling yourself. We fooling ourselves. If you think that you in this movement, but we ain't did no work, you ain't did nothing. It's force times distance. Force times distance. It's not enough just to say, I got 100 troops. I got 1,000 troops. I got 50 troops here. Well, I got this amount of troops. That ain't enough. It's about having a force. Damn right it's about having force. But it's also about the distance, where we have gone. Can we measure our success? Can you measure going from one point to the other point to the next point? Revolution is a process. It is a process that covers points. So that you can say, okay, well, now we have a school to educate our babies. Now we have grocery stores to feed our people. Now we have employment opportunities so that our people can work outside of the system of the white man. Now we control our own economic dollars. Now we have organized a way to get our political prisoners free, and on and on and on. And you can mark your progress. You can mark your progress. That's what work is. But if we follow the lead of these Negroes, we ain't going to never get free. If you follow the lead of these Uncle Tom and these you know, I mean, I'm trying to keep it PG. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if we follow the lead of some of these that are out in front of us, we are not going to never, ever get free. I'm saying, damn, you know what I mean? Be your own leader. Be your own leader as hard as Doctor and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is working. He can't do it all by himself. He cannot do it by himself. I'm not even going to get on here and tell you that the new Black Panther Party can do it all by ourselves. We cannot do this work by ourselves. You cannot do this work by yourself. We have to unite as one body. Where the divisions stop, where you can consider yourself a Panther just like I consider myself a Panther, and whatever your movement is or title is, I consider myself that too if it's revolutionary. That's the way we got to think. We got to be one solid wall. We have to fight like one solid wall. We got to go for freedom, justice, and equality for our generations to come. Okay? And the Creator will help us to get free, of course. But it's going to not come by mystery means or spooky means. We got to get up and do something for ourselves. The Creator works through us. Energy's constant, but it's manifested through the flesh, through the material. Huh? It's manifested. So if you believe in a God, you got to damn sure believe in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. You a hypocrite to say you believe in God and you don't believe in you. You a hypocrite. How can you say that you believe in the unseen, but you don't also believe in that which is seen? It don't make sense. The only way that you can manifest electricity is if you put a conductor to it to make it be a conduit or a current to something else. All right, spirit is the same way. So even if you believe in a God and you know, whatever your spiritual path is, it has to be manifested through work. Can't none of us get up out of this like that. You can't get up out of it just saying, I believe in God, I believe in Allah, I believe in Yahweh, I believe in Jehovah, I believe in whatever, and that's damn good enough. That ain't damn good enough. Belief is not enough. It's not enough just to say you believe. I believe a lot of damn things. But what the hell do I know? What the hell do you know? Belief is good. It's good to believe something, but you got to go a step beyond belief at a certain point and get into knowledge. Get into right knowledge. Get into knowing what it is. And the only way you can know what it is if you have done some application. See, the Panther Party before us, the Panther Party out of Oakland used to have a saying that was called observation and participation. You got to have observation and participation, meaning you got to peep the scene, and you got to see what's going on. You got to see what's working. I got to see what's happening, but then I got to participate in what's going on. So a lot of people are on step one. See, that's the white man's nigga. You're on step one. You observing, you know, sitting back, scoping it out, seeing what's going on. But then you ain't participating. We ain't participating. Scared to sign up. Scared to get involved in the chapter. Scared to be bold. Scared to, you know what I mean, step out and be strong because you think you're going to get fired. Huh? If the white man going to fire you, they're going to fire you any damn way. If they're going to fire us, they're going to fire us any damn way. All right? So, you know what I mean? You're scared, and we scared. We sucking on the breast of the white man, you know what I mean, on his system. You sucking on the breast, and you won't detach from that. We won't detach from being slaves. We can't cut the umbilical cord. We still attached, but then our nature's crying out to be free. Our nature's crying out to be free, but we're not willing to cut the umbilical cord. It don't make sense. We got to have some of this earth to call our own, brothers and sisters. Everybody else moving us out. I was just in Harlem, New York last week. I'm seeing all kind of white folks moving all in the black areas in Harlem, New York. All kind of white folks moving all throughout Harlem, New York, and other black areas. And I know it ain't just in Harlem. It's all over the United States. The white man is moving in the black areas. And they comfortable. Don't get it twisted. They comfortable. They moving in the black areas like it's their area. You understand what I'm saying? They in the black areas like it's theirs, sitting up there with you. You know what I mean? Moving next door to you, praying to God, your ass move out. You know what I'm saying? And then they building up mega structures all over the country. And they gentrifying the black areas to make it white. Or in drastic cases, like in Katrina, they drowned our people out. Then once the land dry up, they put the white folks back in there. Okay, America ain't changed its spots at all. You can say, well, my white friend on my job, she doesn't act like that. That's because she ain't got no damn power. She ain't got no power. I mean, the white man, they don't act like that. They don't have no power. Racism is prejudice plus power, okay? So they don't have no power. They don't have the power to enact that type of stuff. Don't mean they don't have the same mindset. Don't mean they don't have the same nature. Don't mean that. They just don't have any power. So they have to exist with your black ass. They have to exist with you, okay, because they don't have no power. But if they had power, you think they'd be there with you? If they had some power, do you think they would live there with you for real? Come on now. Keep it, as they say, keep it 100. Do you really think if you, with your pro-black self, kicking about reparations and kicking about, you know what I mean, reciprocity and all that, do you think that they would really be living there with you? Hell no. They just don't have no power, okay? So the ones that do got power, they got the ones that got that white power, hell, they are enacting their white power on our black behinds. We got to have some of this earth to call our own. Our forefathers and our foremothers have been robbed of all that we originally possessed. Everything that we originally had has been taken from our people. You wonder why our families don't have nothing to pass on to future generations. It's because it was stolen from us. It was stolen. We shopping in stores that was stolen from our people. Are we shopping in areas and you know what I mean, where the land has been taken from our people? We are supporting white capitalism. We supporting it. We supporting even black capitalism. We supporting it. This stuff was taken from our forefathers and foremothers, and then we shop our black selves right over in the area because we talking about it smells good over there. It's pretty over there. And I'm saying this the same cycle that goes over and over and over again. You wonder why we so hard on black nationalism, why we keep talking about and working to organize amongst ourselves? It's because we know ain't no future in America for you. Ain't no future in America for me. Ain't none. Ain't none. And there's no future in this. Okay? Our people predicted and saw this generations ago, but we ain't getting the message in 2010. We ain't getting it. They stole the land from our people. They stole the resource from our people. Damn, stole us as a people. And all we can say is, can't we all just get along? What the hell do we got to get along for? I'm asking a serious question. Why should we get along like that in 2010? What is it that's in us that makes us want to get along with a people who have robbed us personally and robbed us of our complete culture? What makes it? I mean, I'm just thinking about this. What makes us? They exist right now on white privilege so that the white man and the white woman that exist today, they don't have to lynch us and whip us with whips. They have white privilege. Their forefathers and foremothers have already laid the groundwork for their future generations so that they can be successful. And any white man or white woman in America that is poor and even damn near homeless, even the white homeless, they have a better shot, a better economic shot with a shave and a haircut or a change of hairstyle and getting to a better economic position and condition than you and me as the black man and black woman here in North America. Just with a shave and a haircut. All they got to do is put on some clothes, shave and haircut, and they have a better chance. No matter whether you have a degree or not, no matter whether you're qualified in the area or not, just with a shave and a haircut, they can have a better situation and position. How much more will it take for us to recognize that we don't have no future in this? We don't have no future in this. We are left without anything in this situation. We're left. We don't control the steel, the mills. We don't control none of that. We don't control the manufacturing plants. We don't control none of that. The chemical plant. We don't control none of that. They control it all. We have been robbed, even our television stations, our radio stations, all of that. They have taken it all. They've taken it all. So at what point do we rally up and take back what's ours? Bobby Seale used to say this. He used to say, stick 'em up. He said the Black Panther Party stands for stick 'em up. We coming for what's ours. Okay? At what point do we say, give me what's mine, or I'm taking what's mine? At what point do we take what's ours? At what point do we go for what is ours, or do you even believe that it's yours? See, because if you're a white man's nigga, you don't even believe that it's yours. You don't even believe that you do nothing. Some of you punk Negroes ask us about why we talk about reparations on our program, why we even bring up reparations on our program. It's because you're the white man's nigga. I'm talking male and female, and you don't even believe that we do anything. You don't even believe that we own anything. You walk around right now and see the Indians. They got paid for the so-called Indians. They got paid for theirs. The so-called Jews, they got reparated for theirs. Okay? Hell, Hispanic nations have gotten something for theirs. Every other people that have been through some kind of situation over time have been reparated for theirs. They've got theirs some kind of way, and they're in a better condition than us. And black folks just going to continue suffering because we're screaming about why we asking for reparations or why we pushing the demand of reparations. It's because you the white man's nigger. I'm telling you, you don't believe that we do nothing. You believe in the economic system of the white man. And you believe that if you work hard enough, that you're going to have enough money to make something of yourself one day. And that's bull. It's bull. I don't care what kind of job you work. You don't have an economic future in America. You are not in the elite of America. The only people that America protects is its elite. That's it. You ain't in that circle, you don't have no economic future in America. You don't have none. Okay, and they let us know every day, people that have been on the job, damn near 25 and 30 years in unemployment lines today. Been on the job 15 and 20 years, and you in the unemployment line looking for your unemployment check. I'm talking about right now. They will let you go like it ain't nothing. What kind of plan do we have? What kind of plan do you have? Or do you have a plan at all? Because you know in this work, hell, you know in this work, if you're serious about this work, they're going to try you like that anyway. They're going to try me like that anyway. What kind of plan do we have? What kind of plan do you have when America crumbles? They put Obama in office to try to sway the black dissatisfaction, okay? They tried to do that because they knew that America was crumbling, and they saw the revolutionaries coming up. They saw the black power that was coming up. Think about all of the dissatisfaction that George W. Bush had caused in the world. Think about it. Think about all of the world's or the countries overseas that were angry with America because of its hypocrisy and all of those who were uniting. See, don't forget. Don't get. They call it the USA, but it, you know, for the United States of America, but it's really the United States of amnesia. Don't forget how angry people were at George W. Bush for his actions right here in North America, and how people in other countries, black people and indigenous people in other countries, were linking together. They were talking about a United States of Africa. Remember? A United States of Africa before all that happened. Okay? And so, and they threw a black man in the office to, you know, sway the dissatisfaction, and it lowered our asses right back to sleep. We went right back to sleep. Some of y'all came up to me talking about, well, we don't have nothing to fight for anymore, Brother Sean. No, I have nothing to fight for anymore because now Obama's in office. Obama going to make it right. And now Obama done flipped the script on your black behind. Yeah, that's what I say. He flipped the script on your black behind. He took a page out of the George Bush playbook now. He's trying to make war with another nation because his numbers are low. I got to call it straight up. He's making war with another nation because his numbers are low. He took a play right out of the G.W. Bush handbook, all right? He flipped the script on you because we told you straight up that it wasn't nothing but black face on white imperialism. It's a black face on white imperialism. He doesn't even expect really to have another turn. Believe me when I tell you this. He does not expect to have another term. He's a hired servant for the white imperialist. He's a hired servant for them. And all he's going to do is sway the black dissatisfaction until it boils over, and then they're going to put another white face right back in office. And I'm telling you right now, with this Tea Party movement, with them bastards in the Tea Party, right now they're prepping to get somebody like a Sarah Palin or some white female in there right now. I'm telling you, they're trying to do it with a Hillary Clinton, who they put right down there, his second in command down there. All right? They're trying to do it right now. All right? So don't get it twisted. Don't think that just because you got a black face in the White House that it's all good. That it's all good. You know, coming up to me talking about we don't have nothing to fight for, and we got everything to fight for. We got everything to fight for. Don't forget, about our brother in Chicago, Brother Darian Albert, man. Don't forget, he was killed by his own people because of the foolishness of our people being robbed of a non-self. Don't forget this stuff. Don't come to me talking about we ain't got nothing to fight for and Brother Darian Albert can't wake up and go to school or wake up and breathe another breath tomorrow. Don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me like that and Oscar Grant is executed and the damn cracker can't even, he gets in court and talk about he thought Oscar had a gun and he thought he was reaching for his damn taser. You telling me this cracker don't know the difference between his gun and his taser? Come on now, brother and sister. Come on, brother and sister. But we don't have nothing to fight for. We ain't got nothing to fight for and we don't have no land. We don't have no land as a people. We don't have no medical facilities as a people. We don't have no major black power schools that are really teaching black theology, black liberation theology, and teaching us our true history, but we ain't got nothing to fight for. So you're telling me that we got to be content with this stuff? We got to be content with what's going on? We got to just accept it? You know what I'm saying? We got to just take it? You know what I mean? Like the black power general used to say, we gotta bend over and give evil an opening. Huh? You want to bend over and give evil an opening? Is that what you want to do? Or will you stand up and be strong? See, we got to start talking to these house Negroes like that. We got to start talking to the house Negro strong. Stop capitulating. Stop going along to get along. Stop trying to be everybody's damn friend because everybody in this revolution will not be friends. Everybody will not get along. It ain't going to happen. You cannot, you know, as they say, you cannot integrate the wheat and the tares. One of the two going to choke, you know, they're going to choke each other out. You know what I'm saying? One of the two going to choke each other out. You can't integrate. You cannot integrate, brother and sister. I don't care what you try. You can't integrate. The white man will never accept you in his or her nation, ever. I don't care if you're the lightest of light. Some of you still got that Willie Lynch syndrome, and you think because you light-skinned that you fit in with the white man. You think they don't recognize you just a light-skinned black person? Even you, some of you that's mixed, you think they don't recognize that black blood that's in you? We the only people that run around talking about, I'm half Cherokee. Some of us genuinely are, but I'm talking about you foolish ones. Run around talking about everything that you are except for black. You talking about everything that you are except for African. I got this in me. I got that in me. And all. And some of our people, I'm not black. I'm Jamaican. I'm not black. Come on. You sound foolish. We sound foolish. We have to get back black to the basics. You got to get black to the basics. Get back to the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Get back to the basic teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Get back to the teachings of any of our scholars, Father John Henry Clark. Get back to the teaching of our brother Chancellor Williams, our Baba Chancellor Williams. Huh? Get back to the teachings of those that pointed you towards nationhood. Get back to the teachings of those that pointed you to black power and black nationalism. Get back to the teaching. I'm telling you, because the farther and farther away we go, we look foolish and we look silly. We look dumb with our little black power fists in the air and you the white man's nigger. It's bigger than religion. It's bigger than just, you know what I mean, a small few Pan-Africanists or black nationalists. We're talking about the entire black nation. Don't get it twisted, man. Right now, you got churches right now that are involved in this movement with FEMA that, and even some mosques too. Got to call the mosque out too. That when this thing go down and they lock down America, these churches and these mosques are supposed to become containment camps and containment units. I'm telling you the truth. That right now they involved in certain strategic plans with FEMA that when they give the signal, some of these preachers and imams and some of these leaders are supposed to be containment units and containment fields for the black nation. They could give a damn. They could give a damn about liberation. And I'm telling y'all, we're going to have to take a page up out of the playbook of Sister Winnie Mandela. The black power general, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, He said that Nelson Mandela wasn't no revolutionary. That's what he said. He said Nelson Mandela was not a revolutionary. But he did say that Winnie Mandela was a revolutionary. He said Winnie was a revolutionary. So what did Winnie do that was revolutionary? Hell, Winnie, when traitors came, you know, up for trial, Winnie had the strength, talking about that mighty black woman again. Winnie had the strength to put tires, what they call the donuts, tires around the necks of the traitors. And the tires were doused with gasoline on them. And Winnie, hell, was powerful enough to give that signal to just happen to have somebody trip and drop a match on that damn tire. And that tire went up and they went down. I hope y'all caught what I'm saying. The tires went up and they went down. Okay, that was Winnie Mandela. Alright, so we're going to have to do some of that in the near future to you traitors, to you House Negroes. I'm telling you, we don't have the kind of time to play with you anymore. We don't have the kind of time to, you know what I mean, shake your hand and try to make you feel good, and our babies are dying in the streets. Our babies are dying in the streets, and you want us to kiss your black behind. You want us to kiss your black behind and make you feel good, and you know damn well that you pepping the people. You know damn well you pimping the people, but you want us, you want Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party and others that are strong and bold, you want us to kiss your black behind. I'm telling you, we ain't going to do it. We are not going to do it. We ain't kissing none of your behinds. We ain't kissing none of your behinds. We ain't kissing none of you. I'm talking to Al Sharpton. I'm talking to all of y'all. We ain't kissing none of your behinds. We ain't kissing none of your behinds. We don't have a reason to, because you're not revolutionary. You're not revolutionary. You're not revolutionary. And so if you're not willing to stand up for the people, we have no reason to respect you. We have no reason to bow down and give you some kind of honor like you deserve some type of Black Power medal, and you selling out our people. And it's more than them. There's a whole list of House Negroes. You have a white man's nigga running around and trying to be our leadership. We have no reason to respect you, no reason to honor you, and you have done nothing for the black community. You've done nothing but pimp the black community, pimp us, and you give nothing back to the black community. Nothing at all. You do nothing for us. We don't even see you in the field. We don't even see you in the battle. If you go on my Facebook page, on Sean Quali, facebook.com/SeanQuali, you'll see, hell, I put up a link of where in New York, in our New York chapter, that we had a battle. We had a straight up altercation with the NYPD, the comrades in New York. A straight-up altercation, I'm talking physical, nose-to-nose, hands and blows, battle with the NYPD. Where was you Negroes at then? Where was you old protesting, marching Negroes at then when there was a nose-to-nose confrontation with the NYPD? Where was you at when we was, you know what I mean, in Newberry, South Carolina, facing SWAT teams and sniper teams and white supremacists and all that? Where was you scared-ass Negroes at then? You wasn't around no Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz then. You wasn't nowhere around. You would only want to be around when the damn camera's around. So we don't have no reason to respect you. We don't have no reason to lock arms with you. We don't have no reason to try to make you feel good. You should feel uncomfortable as hell. Every time you see us, you should think about Winnie Mandela. You should think about Sister Winnie Mandela. A real revolutionary. Hell, out of everything that you know what I mean, Nelson Mandela went through. And I'm not saying this disrespectful. I'm just calling it like it is. Out of everything that Nelson Mandela went through, he could forgive them crackers over there in Africa, but you couldn't hang it tough and be there for Winnie Mandela? You couldn't ride with your queen and your sister, Winnie Mandela, but you can forgive and lock arms with the cracker? The hell is wrong with us, brother and sister? We too damn light on this weak-ass leadership. Too damn light on brothers and sisters in the Black Power movement. Just let anybody say Black Power. Some of you Negroes look foolish. You should leave Black Power out of your mouths. You should leave Black Power out of your mouths. Some of you Negroes are embarrassing us. You're embarrassing the new Black Panther Party. You're embarrassing the Black Power movement. You're embarrassing Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and you're embarrassing the legacy of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. You're embarrassing yourself. Some of us sound damn foolish. We sound damn foolish. We give the white man a way to get at our people. We give the white man a way to get at our people. You give him a way to get at our people. And it's shameful. If we fighting against the enemy and we in battle, why would you give them an opening to get at the new Black Panther Party? Why would you give them an opening to get at Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz? Why would you give them an opening to get at our Black Power movement? Why would you give them that? Why would you not think better and choose your words better and choose your moves better and step more carefully? Why would you not step with a military bearing, a paramilitary bearing? Why would you not be a real warrior? Why would you open your mouth in the spirit, in the quote-unquote spirit of Black Power, and embarrass yourself? We got to think better of ourselves. I'm telling you, some of us are the white man's nigga in 2010, even screaming Black Power. Even screaming Black Power, I'm telling you. Even saying Hotep. Even saying Islam Alaikum, even saying peace, God, peace, earth, whatever. Some of us are the white man's nigga in 2010, going into 2011. You know what I'm saying? You are embarrassing us, and it doesn't make sense. We have too many people that are sacrificing on a day-to-day basis. Our political prisoners, our prisoners of war locked down right now have sacrificed for us to gain a better place in the sun, and you tomming and cooning and making a fool out of yourself and making a fool out of us. Okay? Where are the strong voices at? Where are the strong organizations at, huh? Where are the strong leadership at? Where are the strong brothers and sisters at? Where are the strong fathers at? The strong mothers at? Some of you Negroes ain't even trying to take care of your babies, man. You ain't even trying to take care of your babies. It ain't like you being held up from you ain't even trying to take care of your babies. You ain't trying to take care of the Black nation. When the last time you put, you know what I mean, $5 in a homeless Black man's hand, huh? Bought them a cup of coffee, put some clothes on their back. When the last time you did that, huh? When the last time that, you know what I mean, you physically went to clean up the Black community? We see the trash. You know, when the last time, where is the love for Black, man? We got love for everything else. Everybody else can get love. A damn dog get hit in the street. All the damn community come out, oh, the dog. But Black people getting hit, getting slaughtered, getting brutalized, getting raped, killed, all kind of stuff, and ain't no damn outcry. You know what I'm saying? And then you got these, you know what I mean, these parasites in our community. You know, they wanna push the white man's poison, push the white man's dope, and that's supposed to be all right. We supposed to just understand why the hell that's going on. At a certain point, we gotta cut ties with all you Negroes. All you Negroes that love white supremacy and love supporting what the white man do to us, we cutting ties with all you bastards. All of y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not revolutionary. It only seeks to help the white man in the white man's efforts. What do we look like? What do we look like with our tongues hanging out begging like dogs? What do we look like? You know what I mean? Just begging you to have some type of friendship. That's what nerds do. Nerds beg you to have friendship. Do whatever it takes to try to stay in your graces. We don't give a damn about you. If you don't love black people, we don't give a damn about you. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't willing to get on the front line and do something for yourself, we don't give a damn about you. I'm telling you, if you ain't willing to organize, there's no reason for us to care. Cause you love the white man more than you love your people. You love a white man more than you love your people. And if we was on the battlefield in physical confrontation right now, you silly Negroes would be the same ones that would turn heels and run. You'd turn heels and run. Many parents can tell you we have been in plenty of situations. And some of the ones that talking the loudest and talking the strongest, when the shots pop off, you Negroes run. You hide. Now your gun ain't got no bullets. You can't even fire back. You did all that talking about what you gonna do, and then when the shots pop off, you Negroes run and you hide. You're scared to death. Okay, it's not about who talks the loudest. All right, I'm not impressed. No, don't be impressed by any leader that's just talking loud. It ain't about who talks the damn loudest. It's about who's living the loudest, who's working the loudest, who's organizing the loudest, who is sincere. Who has a sincere heart, a sincere mind, a sincere body, who has complete love for his or herself and complete love for his or her people. That's what it's about. That's the only way that we can get a home to call our own. That's the only way. Because if we set a home up today, if we set up territory right now today, hell, we would be the main ones that destroyed our own territory because we're going to be fighting over damn domination. We're going to become black imperialists and black capitalists. We're going to fight over domination. Who going to run what? Instead of being communal, intercommunal or whatever, and working together in an African tradition, an African spirit. We're going to be working to fight against each other. Who's going to run what? Who's going to have what? Instead of working together. You know how I know? Because we do it right now. We do it in every single damn black organization out there. That's why, like I said today, when on my Facebook, I posted up about the 5%, the 10%, the 85%. Where the Black Power General broke that down, he said there's a 5%, a 10%, an 85% in everything. You know what I'm saying? And that's real. That's real. That you got a certain small amount that be dedicated, that be sincere, that be serious. Then you got that 10% that be bloodsuckers, and they only trying to pimp the people and get rich off the people and they don't want to help nobody else. And you got an 85% that don't give a damn about none of that. They deaf, dumb, and blind, and they just go along to get along, and they just follow whatever they can. That's in everything. That ain't just about no nation of Islam or no nation of gods and herbs and no lessons. That's in everything. That's a mathematical equation. Right now in your organization, I guarantee you there's a small amount doing all the work while the others that are supposed to be down with you are running around doing whatever the hell they want to do. I'm telling you. And this got to stop. If we're going to build a nation, we got to all pitch in. You might not be able to do what I'm doing. I might not be able to do what you're doing, but that's not what it's supposed to be like. Everybody has a position. Everybody has a position or multiple positions. So you got to play your role. The husband got to play the husband's role. The wife got to play the wife's role. The child got to play the child's role. Okay? We all got to play our own roles. That's the only way we are going to make it as a nation. Otherwise, we ain't doing what the white man wants us to do. You're doing exactly what Willie Lynch and John Hawkins and all them others set up for you to do. You're a white man's nigga in 2010. If you ain't willing to build a nation for yourself and you so caught up in what America has for you to do, you are absolutely the white man's nigga right now, okay? And see, what makes it even more messed up is they know this. They know that we are stuck in love with them. They know this. They expect you to not look them in the eye when you talk to them. They expect you to not talk as strong, you know what I mean, around them as you would amongst yourself. They expect you to lower your standards and lower your Africanness. Okay, they even tell you in certain situations you're just too ethnic, you're too urban, you know, you have them locks on your head, you know, you have that afro, you're bald headed, you know, and they try to make you, you know, slim down or cut down on your Africanness. This is shameful. I mean, look at the entertainers. You see it. It's prevalent. You know, I mean, it's not like they drink in certain water and the water make them, you know, get plastic surgery. Ain't no plastic surgery water they drinking. Somebody's telling them they ugly. Somebody's straight up telling them your nose is too wide. Your cheekbones are too this. Your skin is too dark. Your hair is too kinky. Your hips are too wide. This, that, and the other, you know. You know what I mean? Somebody is physically telling them this. Hell, even Michael Jackson busted that out. He told you that somebody told him, you know, that his nose is too wide and he was ugly. Okay? I mean, somebody's physically telling them this. And so when they get money, since they already have low self-esteem and they already have a lack of a knowledge of self, once they get enough money, then they go to work on what they feel like is a problem. They go to work on what they feel like is, you know, something ugly, something unsightly, something that's wrong and negative. And so you get a sister like Lil' Kim, you know? I don't know what the hell Lil' Kim looked like now. When she first came out, she looked like a straight-up sister from the block, you know? Straight-up sister, man. Now I don't know what the hell she looked like now. Because somebody along the way in her career done dropped in her mind that her beautiful black features are ugly. You know, and again, it all comes from being the white man's nigger in 2010. We really should be ashamed of ourselves. We really should be ashamed of ourselves, man, just following these devils, even listening to the devil. We should really be ashamed of ourselves. They pitting us against each other, making us fight against each other. You know what I mean? Even in the Black Power movement, we criticize the gangbangs, we criticize the Bloods, the Crips, or whatever, but we fighting right amongst ourselves. We fighting right amongst ourselves, then open up our mouth and say we got to stop the gang violence. You know what I mean? Hell no, we got to stop the gang violence amongst ourselves. We gangbanging harder on ourselves than even some of the Bloods and Crips is gangbanging, man. We gangbang. I mean, straight up just gangsters, just straight up gangbanging on Black Power in the name of Black Power. And I'm telling you, that is not going to work in the new Black Panther Party. I can't speak for nowhere else, but that ain't going to work. We cannot be fighting against ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And you talking about you a panther, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to get it. That is not the spirit of the Black Power General. That is not the spirit of the National Chairman. That is not the spirit of the Panther in general. That ain't going to work. Needless to say, for the rest of the black movement, black community, and black nation, that ain't going to get it. We have no right to tell a so-called gangbanger to, you know, put your flag down, stop banging, stop rapping your set, and then here you come with your so-called conscious ass and you gangbanging and banging on somebody else in the black community. That don't make sense. We hypocrites. That's hypocritical. How can I tell you to stop banging for what you believe is your set, that you go in the war banging for what you believe is yours, and here I am, so-called conscious in the conscious community, and then when I see something that I don't necessarily understand or don't like, I'm a bang on it. I'm just going to bang on my own brother and my own sister. That shit is crazy as hell. Now, look. Ain't nothing wrong with calling out, you know what I mean, these false leaders. That's not gangbanging. That's necessary. I'm talking about just being overly critical of everything black. Being overly critical of everything black. We have no reason to be overly critical. We should be getting involved to uplift ourselves. I would love nothing more than some of these Negroes out here to, you know what I mean, be revolutionary and stop kissing the white man's, we'll say ring, kissing the white man's ring, you know what I mean, bowing down to the pinky ring of the white man. I would love nothing more, because this is a heavy work. This is a heavy task that we have undertaken in terms of liberation, and we need help with this burden. We need help to get this weight up off of our shoulders. We need this, man. It is a heavy, heavy weight that is on us, and we need as much help as we can get. But there is no way that I'm even going to ever act like it's okay to, you know what I mean, be a step and fetch it and be an Uncle Tom and be a butt-licking, boot-licking, half-baked, half-fried, sissy-fied, punk-ified, homogenized nigga for the white man. There is no way that we will ever let you feel like that is okay. And we would never let you or these leaders feel like it's okay to say one thing in the public and do another thing in the private. I'm talking about in terms of black power. We will never let you think that that is okay. You will never hear us say that it's okay to integrate with the white man, let the white man get in our meetings. You will never hear that from us. Not from no real New Black Panther Party. You hear that from anybody representing the New Black Panther Party, just know in your mind that's not the New Black Panther Party. Know that that's some damn agent, some damn infiltration, you know, somebody done lost their damn minds. If it say New Black Panther Party, NBPP, whatever, you see Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz's name on it, Sean Quali's name on it, or anybody that's really with the New Black Panther Party, know in your heart we are not involved with the white man. No white alliance. No kind of way. This is what we live by. You know what I'm saying? We straight up about black nationalism, revolutionary black nationalism, revolutionary Pan-Africanism, revolutionary black power. We about that, straight up. And I'm telling you, if anybody tells you anything different, you tell them to take that and go stick that where it belongs. It's our time. We past time. We are past time to have what is ours. We can't let the white folks deceive us anymore. Can't let them try to sweetheart you. You know, I'm talking really to the sisters too. Can't let them sweetheart you. You know, you get on your job and they drop little gestures on you. You know what I mean? They say little comments on you about your form and about your shape, and you know what I mean, looking you all in your eyes, and you know what I mean, they get all close up on you. You know what I'm saying? They do these things. You know what I mean? You cannot let them sweetheart you. You cannot even let them think that they are worthy enough to even walk up on you, sister, and have that kind of approach to you. They should be scared to death to even approach you like that. If they can approach you like that, that means that you too damn open. You too damn open. You know what I mean? Your force field, your atmosphere is not strong enough. It's not prevalent enough to repel that kind of evil. If the white man could just walk up on you and drop suggestions on you and don't feel no kind of way, you know what I'm saying? You got to build up your force field. You got to build up your black power force field. And that's not just for the white man. That's for them silly Negroes too. Got to build up your force field. Stop letting these Negroes have their way with you just because they say they're about some black power. You know what I'm saying? Just because they say they're revolutionary. That don't mean that they can have sex with you or be with you because they say they're revolutionary. What the hell kind of work they doing? Can they provide for you? Damn, if they ain't working a job, do they have a job working for self? You know what I'm saying? If they got babies, are they doing something to take care of their babies? Are they trying to take care of their babies? Do they have their past situations taken care of? All this type of stuff is important in a situation. I'm talking just as a brother. This stuff is important because we cannot build a nation doing Negro stuff. As long as we do Negro stuff and act like Negroes, you know what I mean, and be the white man's nigga in 2010, we ain't going to build no nation. We just fooling ourselves. We might as well just hang it up and try to be the best Negroes we can be. I'm telling you, if you ain't going to go for self and be real about this, you might as well be the best Negro you can be, crack open about 740 ounces, roll you about 6 blunts, you know what I mean? Be just as ignorant as you want to be and never read another book in your life. Just be the best Negro you can be. If you ain't trying to do for self, you ain't trying to build no nation, just be the best nigga you can be. I'm telling you, because that's about all we're going to do. That's about all you're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Be like these Negroes on BET. You know what I mean? Waka Flocka. You know what I mean? These kind of cats. They ask him a simple question. He can't even answer a simple question on voting. It could just sound retarded. You know? Just be like them. That's all you do. But if you're serious about some nationhood, man, then we got to get to organizing. We have to get to organizing. We got to have clothes on our backs for when this system crumbles, when this nation crumbles. We got to have some clothes to put on our babies, some food to put in our stomachs, huh? You got to be able to take care of self and do for self, because you got to know that when they shut the lights off, you're not going to be able to go to no Kroger and get no damn food, man. When they shut the lights off, we are not going to be able to go to Sam's Club and stockpile no water. We got to start stockpiling the water now, stockpiling our food now, stockpiling our clothes now, our survival tools and survival kits right now. War between the black nation and the white nation is inevitable. It's due. And they don't play fair. They do not play fair. So don't think this is going to be no kinder, gentler, you know what I mean, type of war. It ain't that kind of thing. They are playing for annihilation. They plan, so they do it right now with a low frequency, on a low level. You know what I mean? You heard some of the reports come out the other day. They'll do things like inject you with syphilis, inject you with HIV, you know, do things like they did to Bob Marley, put cancer in you and things like this, like they did to our brother Kwame Ture, hit you with cancer and different things. They put chemical plants in the black community, you know what I mean, that send out toxic chemicals and things like that. They'll send chemtrails, you know what I mean, and all kind of stuff. They do this now, just on a low frequency. So when they pick up the warfare, then, you know, imagine that kind of brutality. This is just low-level brutality right now that we're facing, and we ain't willing to organize around that, together against that, on a low level with low frequency. So imagine the high frequency. You ain't even got to imagine. Just stick around for a little while. You know what I mean? And witness the all-out assault on black. So the question becomes, what are we going to do? What you going to do right now? As you know what I mean, listening to me and I'm talking to you, think to yourself, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What is going to be the answer to the situation that we have going on? What is going to be the antidote to the poison that is in our community, in our veins, in our minds? I believe, like what Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz has taught us, like what the Black Power General has taught us, that revolution is the only antithesis to this hypocrisy that's going on. Revolution is the only solution to the things that are prevalent in our community. Revolution is the only thing that will help us. I believe this. I don't believe in no ghosts and no goblins, no Casper ghosts and goblins coming down and saving black people. That ain't going to happen. I don't believe that. In fact, it's not even a belief. I know that ain't going to happen. I don't believe in some little green man coming from some other planet above the earth, you know what I mean, coming to save black people. I don't, you know what I mean, ain't nobody green finna come down and do nothing for nobody black. We've been here for 6,000 years. If somebody green was seeing us in this condition for 6,000 years, I'm sure by now they would have brung their little green tails down here by now. So don't talk to me about no green people. Don't talk to me about no ghosts. You know what I'm saying? The solution to our situation is revolution. It's overthrow of what's happening to us. Okay? It's complete constructive change in every single way possible. Every single way. Every single way possible, it is complete constructive change. That is the only way that we are going to get about this thing. We are not going to get about this thing not trying to fight the beast. We're not going to get free not trying to fight the beast. There is no way you can avoid it. We've done everything we can to avoid fighting the beast. I'm telling you. Everything we can, we tried not to fight the beast. But That's why we come up with no answer. See what I'm saying? The reason why we have not solved the problem is because we're not fighting. Like I said, they fighting us on a low level. They fighting us with low frequency, and we ain't fighting back. We just saying, well, that ain't right. That's not fair. That's messed up. That's terrible. But damn it, when do you fight back? It's like being in an abusive relationship. As long as you don't fight the abuser back, the abuse continues. You hear me? As long as you don't fight the bully back, the abuse continues. See, the white man's nigga believes that he or she can't fight back. Some of you got this weak argument talking about, you know, we can't fight the white man. We can't. The white man makes the guns. We can't fight the white man. Hey, black people got so many damn guns in the black community, it's crazy as hell. We got enough guns in the black community to literally wage a couple of years worth of war. I'm telling you, all kinds of artillery in the community. If it's just about guns, so it's not just about no damn guns. I'm telling you, it ain't. It's about your heart and your courage and your character. If you know within yourself that you're able to make war with the beast, if you know in your heart you're able to make war with the beast, we got to have a showdown. There has to be a showdown until the situation and problems of the black nation is solved. We got to be talking about it. You got to be confrontational, man. They bring in this stuff to you. Yeah, we go to bed tonight. We go to sleep right now tonight. Somebody's up there on Capitol Hill putting some policy in place that affects the black community in an adverse way. In an adverse way right now. And as soon as we go to bed and wake up and go back to work, that policy is in our life and in our face, and we don't do a damn thing. Don't do a damn thing. You know what I'm saying? And we talking about we going to go to heaven. You talking about you going to go to heaven. You going to die and go to heaven. That a white man wants your ass to go to heaven. Trust me. Wants you to go to heaven somewhere in the sky. Because if you looking up in the sky to get your heaven, then you ain't thinking about fighting this beast, this devil on the ground. You ain't thinking about fighting the beast and fighting the devil on the ground. You're only thinking about going to heaven in the sky. And I'm telling you the straight up truth, because I know that the white man is the devil. If there was streets paved with gold up in the sky, as many rockets and rocket ships that the white man sends up in the sky, they would have stole all the damn gold. They would have stole it all. They would have stole the gates. They would have stole the road. They would have stole the golden toilets. They would have stole the golden trees. Hell, if it's golden water, they would have drunk all the damn golden water, too. They would have took it all. The white man would take it all because they took your black behind and my black behind. And so if they would take a whole nation of people, what in the hell makes you think they wouldn't steal damn roads paved with gold? See, that's how you know this stuff is foolish. It's fairy tale. It's fairy tale. They've given us, they the ones that taught us that madness. They taught us that when you die, you're going to go to heaven up in the sky and what they call, I guess, the sweet by and by, and you know, you're going to dance around and get wings, and you know what I'm saying? Many of us, some of us scared to fly in airplanes. How in the hell, when you get wings, you're going to fly around and not be scared? Come on, we got to get real, brothers and sisters. This stuff is not revolutionary. It's fairy tale, and they teach us fairy tales to keep our minds caught up on the confusion. You'd be better off believing in Santa Claus. You'd be better off believing in Santa Claus than believe that you're going to go up in the sky in a place of peace and contentment with wings on your back while your people are suffering on the ground. No sir and no ma'am. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, bearing witness to the Black Power General and the new Black Panther Party, our stance is that heaven and hell are two states of mind, two conditions of being. Heaven is not up and hell ain't down. Heaven ain't up and hell is not down. The earth is spinning at 1,037 and one-third miles per hour. 1,037 and a third miles per hour, the earth spins, and it rotates on its axis. So that within 12 hours, within 12, 24 hours, what you thought was up is now down, and what you thought was down is now up. So if heaven is up and hell is down, then hell, within a 24-hour period, where your heaven was, now your hell is. I'm trying to get y'all to see how we've been duped. What your hell, where your hell was, now your heaven is, okay? So it's not about up and down. It ain't about going up and going down and you going to fly away and be in this place and that place. It's about who controls the land. Even for you Bible thumpers, if you believe in the Bible, hell, even the Bible tell your silly self that you got to fight for a promised land. You got to fight for the promised land. It didn't even say the promised sky. Stop letting the preacher talk to you about a promised sky, going up in the sky. Hell, if there was a Moses, he was talking about a promised land. If there was a man named Jesus, so-called Jesus, that he was talking, he said the kingdom of God is within you. He didn't say the kingdom of God was up in no sky. He said the kingdom was within you, black man and black woman. So don't talk to us with that foolish talk. So they want us to keep our minds away from the actual reality. The actual reality is that we have to fight the beast in a righteous manner in self-defense. You must do something to build up your own nation. If you want heaven, fight the hell that's going on the ground. See, when we say that the white man is the devil, we ain't just poking and making fun. We ain't just poking and making fun. That ain't just something we talking about, like we just trying to poke and make fun. We talking about an actual enemy with a nature to do wickedness, with a nature to do wickedness. If you don't like it from me and you need a white man to verify what I'm saying, you can read a book by a white man named Michael Bradley. Michael Bradley wrote a book called The Iceman Inheritance. I'm going to say it again. It's called The Iceman Inheritance. Look that book up. Go get that book somewhere. And in that book, Michael Bradley did a research. He did years of research on his own people and on why his people are naturally so aggressive and naturally the murderers of dark people and naturally so evil. He did, in his own book, it's called The Iceman Inheritance. He did a study. And there's other books out there. I just don't have enough time to give them all to you. But we may do a series on the white folks that bear witness to their own devilish men. Hell, there's another book a sister didn't write it. It was a Caucasian. I almost thought about a sister's book. But a Caucasian woman wrote it, and it's called Message to the White Man. I think Ida Hakeem wrote that one. I may be wrong, but I think Ida Hakeem wrote that one. I remember it, called Message to the White Man in America. And she's talking about her own people, while her people, again, are so devilish. I mean, it's not like we're just making this stuff up. You can research it yourself. But you're dealing with an actual enemy, and they would love nothing more than for us to shoot our minds in the sky and not deal with what the hell is going on. If you want to see some change, become a revolutionary. Take revolution serious. Take liberation serious. Take black power serious. Live, breathe, eat, sleep, and love black power, black liberation, black laws, and black theology. Join the new Black Panther Party. Hell, get involved in the organization. Get involved in other organizations and make them revolutionary. Hell, like I said, we need all the help we can get. We need all the help we can get, all the talent that's in the black nation. You telling me that the new Black Panther Party can't expand to be the largest, most revolutionary power force and power source in the hells of North America? All the talent that's in the black nation, you gonna be the white man's nigga and not join on with those who you know ain't punked out, ain't bowing out. You're going through the page of history like the Panther Party of the 1960s. You know this, and you can't link arms with us, and at the very least, just be general membership. Hell yeah. Some of y'all don't even know. We got general membership, Vanguard membership, and other membership. Yeah, everybody ain't got to do what I'm doing. Everybody ain't got to be in the BDU uniform. You can just be a general member of the Panther Party who wants to organize, who may want to do the survival programs, who may want to do the health program. You might, you know what I mean, want to do the art program, be a part of the Ministry of Art and Culture. You know, you might want to just be in the, you know what I mean, the hip-hop program. You know what I mean? You might just want to be a revolutionary rapper, whatever the case is. Man, it's a spot for everybody. But I'm just saying, don't be the white man's nigga. Whatever you do, don't be the white man's nigga. You got to come about that black man and black woman. Stop letting them rob us of our mental power. Stop letting them stop you, and stop letting the white man himself stop you from doing that which you know is right. You know ain't no freedom without revolution. Your nature tells you this. There is no freedom without complete constructive change. You know we exist in bondage. We're reading about the children of Israel and this, that. Hell, you the damn children of Israel. You the one that's in bondage. I'm in bondage. Hell, you know what I'm saying? Our communities are the most occupied communities in the world. As way more police in the black community than any other communities anywhere to be found. And if there's way more police, and then we supposed to have the most crime, you do the math. How in the hell, if the police are there to serve, quote-unquote, and protect, how in the hell is there way more crime in the black community, but we the most policed communities? Unless you know the police are not there to solve no crimes. The police are not there to stop no incidences. The police are only there to occupy. They're only there to occupy. That's all they do. All they do is protect the land and protect the elite. They protect and serve the elite. They're not protecting and serving. They don't protect and serve black. So we got to be our own defense. For you brothers and sisters who, you know, are defense brothers and sisters, you defense men and women, you know some kung fu, you know some Wing Chun, you know some karate, you know some ninjutsu, you know some ancient African arts, you know how to defend, you know military tactic, you know maneuver, huh? You know about warfare, political, and military science. Hell, we need your help. Sign up and be a part of the Panther, man. We got to grow this thing. We got to grow this thing to usurp the power of white supremacy. Hell, they are joining forces every day. Tell you the truth, the white man is joining forces with his own every single day. The white supremacists, the white power advocates are joining forces every single day. And anybody in their white nation that doesn't join on with them, they do their best to either eliminate the problem or shun them away. I'm telling you, they joining. They have consolidated their forces. You can go on their website right now. They talking all kind of mess, not about Jesse Jackson, not about none of them other weak leaders. They talking about the new Black Panther Party. They talking about trying to make confrontation with the new Black Panther Party. That's because they know we will black boot stomp their ass. All right, they know this. All right, that's why they raise our name, because they know we ain't singing no lift every voice and swing and lift every voice and sing. Sorry, they know we not singing no lift every voice and sing. But I did say it right. We should sing lift every fist and swing, but we not singing no lift every voice and saying, we will black boot stomp your ass in self-defense, all right? Okay, so I'm saying we have to grow this thing. We have to grow the Panther. You know how National Geographic had that little graphic where the Panther just consumed America and it just swelled to overtake the globe? That was cold. Hey, we got to make that real. That is the white man's nightmare. J. Edgar Hoover was the one that said that he wanted to stop the leadership from joining on to any other black organization that practiced black nationalism. He didn't want the leadership, and he did not want the youth to practice black nationalism. Okay? And so if the enemy didn't want you, didn't want me, didn't want the youth to practice black nationalism, guess what you should be practicing? If you don't want to be the white man's nigga, practice black power. Practice black nationalism. So join on with us. Our website's newblackpanther.org. We need your help. Keep up with us. You can email me with your questions, your comments, or Find out how to get involved at nbpphq@yahoo.com. You can see Sean Kwali. I'll help you get registered with no problem. Hell, we're going to grow this thing on everything I love for our babies and for our futures. If you want freedom, let's do it revolutionary style. And so, hell, we're going to wrap it up. But we want you to join us again. Keep joining in and tune in with us. Tune in with us every single week for Black Power Radio. And we're going to keep bringing this. We bring the guests on, different guests on, and hopefully eventually bring you on in a revolutionary spirit. And so I want to say in closing, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. And as always, we love you, and we leave you as we came with Black Power.
It's fun for all the
chicks hunt them, neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate them, snakes cannot violate them. Pimps memorize his line verbatim. He reps in YO, yeah, she knows the Wido. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks the tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back, Mac and business. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs, laughs, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.